And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. For the next half hour, we're going to be talking with Olivia Kirkpatrick, Lanny Bradley, and Christy Thomas, who are leading an effort to bring an all-inclusive, all-access, all-abilities, thank you very much, that's the word I was looking for, park to Las Cruces, which is, in my opinion, badly needed. Olivia, why don't we start with you? Just explain what this project is, how you got started with it, and what you're looking to bring to the community.
Well, it all started with a conversation on March 3rd. So I did the math. We're officially 2 months and 2 weeks into this.
Wow.
So Lanny and I had a conversation on March 3rd and both mentioned wanting to bring an inclusive park to Las Cruces. Lanny said there's one in Farmington, and that sparked it. So 3 days later, we had a website and a QR code to that, a letter, and it just grew from there, because we saw that there is nothing in this community that works for our disabled community, and we want to fill that gap. We want to make sure that when we talk about inclusivity in Las Cruces, that it truly is talking about every body in Las Cruces.
I was impressed when I was reading through your press release that that small children can be who have difficulty with movement can be handled by their parents, but you know, you get too big for a parent to pick you up and you become a parent and there you are, not even able to play with your child.
Christy brought that to my attention.
I am in that particular situation. I have a daughter. She'll be 35 in June. There came a point in time where it was no longer feasible for me to be able to move her from her wheelchair onto a piece of equipment. And a lot of times it wasn't safe.
Yes.
And it became a situation where when I would take my children to try to play together and interact at a park, and it was not possible. And so my daughter had to watch her brothers go run around and play and climb around. And it became heartbreaking for her.
Yes.
She would get very discouraged, very depressed, and we would have to leave. So in the long term, we stopped going.
Yeah.
And that was not fair to any of them at that particular point.
And that's how you make friends, is on a playground.
And that's just one of several. We've gotten feedback, and that has been something that has been mentioned more than once about a sibling having to watch others go and
have fun, and there you are just sitting.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm a grandparent. I have a 4-year-old granddaughter, and at 3, she asked me, why can't my aunt play with me at the park?
Oh.
Why can't my aunt go on a swing? There are quite a few, and she's 3 years old, and
she already has this
understanding that my aunt Ashley is different, and there is not any way that I can play with her outside of the setting of our home.
Yeah.
And that was another big reason why when this discussion happened, I said, this is something I want to be involved in.
Yeah.
And I, from the caregiver perspective, my mom is a part of our family unit in our home, and she is 76 years old, and she loves taking the kids to the parks, except for she has to watch from the sidelines because she can't see as well as she once could.
Yes.
And it's an obstacle for her. It's a barrier for her as a grandparent to be able to do those things with the kids. She can't push them on the swing. She can't climb 200 feet in the air on what seems like these massively tall swings and slides and things.
Yes.
And do that with them because she can't actually see as well as anyone else. And so
and that's
she
a very
struggles
good point
that.
Too, is because what we're talking about are a variety of different limits that people might have that would keep them from being able to use equipment. So it's vision, hearing, other mobility.
Yes. So in starting this, I've learned a lot. And the goal, I think, starting out with has very much changed for me in this process and gathering information. Very much ages, right? We want to get everybody of all ages. A lot of people have written in and talked about the kids. And there's one story that came in that a woman became paralyzed at the age of 6. And she was, her story was about wanting something for the kids. And as I was reading that, I thought, but I want this for her too. I want her to be able to go and enjoy a space, a green space that fits for her as well. So not just a playground, but something for adults as well. And there's a large community out there of adults who could benefit from this as well, because it's, there's nothing for them either.
Well, you mentioned in this, in the 2024 U.S. Census found that nearly 18,000 Las Cruces residents live with some disability, and across the county, their number rises to over 33,000. That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. That's a large percentage.
That are not served.
And I continue to say that's a large percentage of our population.
Yes.
And it's not just those individuals. It is their caregivers. It is their families. It is their friends.
It's the whole community.
It is the whole community that is affected. And fortunately for us, we have the determination, the drive, and the ability to want to make this change, to do something positive. So for all of Southern New Mexico, that's the other thing that people are not realizing, is there's nothing in Southern New Mexico that could fill or meet these needs of any of this population.
Yes.
So can you explain what would this park look like? How would it be different than the parks that we have now?
Oh my gosh. There's, we have collectively, so this is not just one of us coming to the table. This is a collective of all of us and our ideas, is having a space. One, dignity is one of our driving forces. We want a place where people could go, be present, be involved. So I said presence is not participation. Mm-hmm. And we want, so we want people to participate with dignity. One of the things that when looking throughout the country and a lot of different places that have done something like this, they have zoned areas. So something that is like a low to mid-level challenge or a mid to high-level challenge. They've got a sensory area. So we've really looked at that and liked that as our vision for being able to do that, because we don't want an adult going in and seeing something that is to their capability but says that it's for somebody who's 5 to 8 years old.
Yes.
You know, and that's not going to be good. The sensory area is a big thing. We have a large autism community here.
Yes.
So I think if you know anything about that, the world can get very loud, very bright, very, very everything for them. And so to have an area where they can go that it's quiet, we found a pod. It's like a little igloo thing that maybe they could go in there and help buffer the sounds, kind of bring the light down a little bit. Instead of having to leave, they can go and just have a little moment and then go and get to participate again. You know, we've looked, there's a lot of things.
Another very important thing for me personally is shade.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone with a seizure disability, one of the main triggers is heat and sun. But that goes for any of the medically fragile conditions. That goes for anyone with heart conditions, etc. And because we live in such a hot area year-round, everywhere that I have gone has some shade available, but we would like to really expand upon that so that you are shaded throughout going through these activities and on these walking paths. Another really big, important thing to me, knowing so many people with mobility issues, is to make sure that there aren't all of these very tricky transitions that are trip hazards or that cause a lot of trauma for the person in the wheelchair or the person pushing the wheelchair when need be. So to me, the actual ground area and how that is prepared and built, as well as the shade, and the gathering spot, what we're going to call a pavilion, where multiple people, not just one family, can fit underneath, have different conversations, and have access for everyone. Those are the things that are foremost in my mind as far as what has to happen for the basics.
And I would like in the pavilion area or nearby, like little amphitheater too, so that people could go and have performances. There could be things like that, and maybe events. There could be concessions, so there could be a potential income opportunity for, you know, bringing that in. It wouldn't just be a park. Lanny has had some really great ideas for those who have low vision or, you know, so I want her to speak on that.
I feel like I'm kind of the one who gets caught up in the design aspect of what this park could look like. And I think in saying that, it's important to note that when we're saying park, we're not saying just a playground. We are saying a park, which would be a playground, a green space, places, like just multiple places for activities in one location. And I think a lot of people that are hearing about it and they're like, we have so many parks. And I'm like, yeah, but that's just playgrounds. I'm talking about a park. And when we think about that, there are so many things that could go into that. One of the things we've discussed being pretty important to us is what I call the amenities list. And it's going to be things like having access to water and to shade and to restrooms where you could actually use them if you had someone who was, you know, using mobility devices and things like that. So we're talking the full ADA compliant doorways and all of those things, which are usually... That's kind of the base. Is it ADA compliant? But does that mean that it works for Christy and her daughter? Not necessarily, but it is ADA compliant. So we're making sure that we're being very cognizant of what is needed instead of what is very easily and readily available.
Because you know, it's interesting that you mentioned, I was wondering about the ADA. You would think that, what is it, 40 years after the ADA?
It's not. The ADA was actually enacted in 1990.
Yeah.
And that was 1 year before my daughter was born. So it's something that has developed. And if you actually read the 500 plus pages of the ADA, for every single situation that you go through, there's kind of a loophole there, a way for someone to get around. And usually because of financial aspects, having to conform to the ADA standard.
I remember when I was at the Sun News probably 15 years ago, we had a group of specialists come go throughout the city and check for ADA violations, and they were everywhere. There's a gentleman named Frank Carroll who has looked specifically at the parks and just things like you can't get to the water fountains. So, yeah, you can't. They have uneven surfaces where you can't get to where you need to go, and you are nodding your head at all of this. So, I mean, just basic ADA compliance, we are so behind on that.
Very much so, and I think that's one of the things that we've all discussed and seen. This is something that's been done successfully in other places across the country, and things they've done is they've built a community design team. And so we've called it the design table for us, where getting people who actually work hands-on with this community, in the disabled community.
Including members of the community.
Correct. Yes. So we want to get their feedback as well and have so that when it comes time to do this, because this is going to happen in my world, this is going to happen, right? We're going to have people at the table who've touched hundreds of people with mobility issues, with vision issues, hearing, all of the things, cognitive, autism, everything.
One of the main things that we've always said is we don't want to build this park for the community. We want to build this park with the community.
Yes.
And there is a big difference there.
Yes.
That input and involvement is extremely necessary so that we can make sure that the voices are heard and the needs are met.
Yeah, that it actually serves a community.
Absolutely.
From our community.
Right. Yeah, I think that's exciting, actually. It's a grassroots effort that you're doing, right?
It is.
Yeah, very much grassroots.
Very much.
Have you had discussions with the city yet? And what has their response been?
We have, and it's been positive. We've actually had some conversations with the county as well, and everything has been positive. So I'm feeling very...
Hopeful?
Hopeful, yes. about the direction of this. And again, we're only 2 months and two weeks in.
That's a good point.
So, yeah, there's still a lot of work to do. And the feedback from most everybody has been absolutely supportive and seeing the need for this themselves.
And this may be too early in the process, but do you know yet, are the plans to take an existing park and work with it, or would you like to build a brand new park from scratch?
Honest, well, if you leave it up to us, that's one thing, right?
we have always said we would much prefer to be able to build one from scratch, because there's going to be some infrastructure that goes into that in order to make it truly accessible.
As you said, mm-hmm. groundwork.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The groundwork alone is so mandatory. And then another big thing for us are restrooms that are large enough to actually accommodate the wheelchairs with their caregivers and adult changing tables. People do not realize. One of the main things that I, as a parent of a disabled person, am responsible for doing is giving her choices as to what she would prefer and how she wants to live, which includes not wearing diapers. And so that if she had an accident and she needs to have her entire clothing or outfit changed, to do so in a bathroom stall, as is right now, is extremely difficult. Yeah. So anytime things like those happen, that always means that we go home.
Yeah.
You know, if we're in a restaurant eating dinner and she has an accident, we go home. And that is the reality for a lot of people because, as I said, as parents, we should be giving them all of the opportunity and choices that are available to them. And that includes personal choices.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The ability, if she can move herself around in her wheelchair to different areas, that's a freedom for her.
Yes.
That is... it's rare in any public space. And so I just keep thinking of these different things as we go along that maybe the general public doesn't think about or doesn't understand, but it's the reality for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why to make sure that it starts from the ground up and encompasses all of those different difficulties and issues, like with specialized restrooms, that's why it's so important for us to really try to get something from the ground up.
Yeah, and I didn't realize from the beginning, Lanny's the one who brought it to my attention about needing adult changing tables.
Yes.
Because some, thankfully, Christy's daughter has that choice, but some don't.
It's a barrier, and that's when we're thinking about the design of this park, we're trying to figure out, in our research and when we talk to people and with our community input, is what are your barriers and how do we design something that removes some, if not all, that's the goal, right? Is to remove all of them. It's a large population with many barriers that are very vastly different. So how do you build something where you can actually remove some of those so that it's accessible to everyone.
Mm-hmm. So and when you're going to Portland, is that going to help getting some design advice from?
I sure hope so.
We're hoping it does. That is, you know, we've never been to one, so
they sent us homework. I'm ready.
There's
so you're going to go to Portland and actually see what you're going to try to build here.
Playground design workshop.
Yes, we're going to get to go and see what they've done. And how they've done it and get all of the information
from
them.
And then they'll critique what designs you have and say, now, both positive and negative of things to think about.
Yes. And that I'm
excited for that.
Yeah.
As I said, I get stuck in design. So
I'm the one that says, you know, I would like a little botanical space. And like in Santa Fe, the botanical little area and like a little art walk. And,
or something.
Yeah. And so I tell her, and that's up to her to figure out.
That's the fun part.
Other stuff.
And I'm the practical side. And that's good that we have such
balance
mm-hmm. in this. Because from a practical aspect, everything that I'm focused on is accessible to someone in a wheelchair. Or with a walker.
Yes.
And we have a caller. We should be able to hear without putting the headphones on. But caller, go ahead and make your point.
Yes. Good morning. This is Gregory Shuranik. And ladies, I heard you speak at City Council, Ms. Kirkpatrick and Ms. Thomas, I believe it is. I know you've only had a couple of months at doing this, so I want to properly invite you to the City Park and Recreations Board meeting tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock at the Castaneda Building, which is over by the new swimming pool on Hadley. It's really important because you're asking for a whole park, and I concur with that. I have a sister who is now an adult who's profoundly handicapped, so I understand your needs. But in this city, as it is, and when you come to the Parks and Recreations Board and you kind of give to them what you'd like to do as this project, and then the history of projects in this city being completed by our city for our residents, you'll find out it's a really slow, grinding process.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I wish to advise you that if you start locally by developing little micro-ability parks in our park system, you will then be able to have a whole park. Otherwise, I'm sorry, this city, tomorrow they're going to talk about a master plan for Young Park. And I hope you come and listen as a public member so you understand the weight of your request and how you can make it happen as a solution in the current fiscal system. And I thank you very much for all your hard work. I just know that you need to be more in contact with the Parks and Recreation Board, and you need to go all the time if you want to get this project on the master plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. Yeah.
Thank you so much for that feedback. It is something that we've talked about, and we understand that this is not something that's going to happen tomorrow, and we understand it's not going to happen in this fiscal cycle either. I went to the meeting, you know, so I understand the needs of our community. This is going to be, it's going to take years. As far as the micro parks that he was talking about, we did discuss that, and I hope that there's something that is done. However, when I think about Christie or people in that situation where every day just getting up and around is difficult, do we want them to have to then go to a place where, well, here you get to sit in the shade and here you get to swing and slide and you have to go somewhere else to do, mm-hmm. you know, the merry-go-round or any other different activity, to go and have to go through that effort of today you get this, if we can do it tomorrow you get that. It's asking a community to do something that is already hard just on the daily basis. So that is, I understand, and I think Christie has something here to say that would be very important on that because she lives it.
I do live that, and if and some people do say that there are a few different spots here and there in other parks that have like a piece of equipment. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that I personally cannot get my daughter loaded up, take her, have her enjoy one piece of equipment or one area, and then be able to load her up again and take her to another park. It's not practical, and therefore we don't go.
We have another caller. We're down to our last few minutes, caller, so it's going to need to be a quick point, but go ahead.
Okay, well, this is the same caller. This is Gregory Shuranik again. And I have to correct you. None of our parks in this city have ADA-compliant abilities for anybody who is handicapped, even seniors. And so it's got to start immediately, and you have to be on top of what's in our parks now for the future. Please come. Don't say you talk to them. Please come and state it in public to the Parks and Recreation Board. I'm sorry. I have 8 or 9 years experience, and I am telling you that you need to deal with the park system as it is now before they'll create anything okay. that will help anybody.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ready?
Thank you, Mr. Chervanek. We have big plans. That's what I'm going to say. We have more plans to talk to the city. We have more plans to talk to the county. Mm-hmm. We are not done here. Livia once put it that if the right situation is not available for us to build tomorrow, we'll wait till next week.